Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 22, verses 1 through 15. Listen for the word of the Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a worm and not a human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. Since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for this hard word, this difficult word, this word that in some ways helps us, makes our lives more manageable, perhaps. Please help us as we hear your word in this, your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Unfortunately, the lectionary has set me up with back-to-back texts of sets of texts that ask impossible questions and ask for unknowable answers, or maybe answers that maybe even if you could know them, you wouldn't want to. I come this morning not as an expert on the absence of God, but sort of as a fellow traveler, and I just had a few points from the Bible about that. But I wanted to start with this quote from Friedrich Buechner in his book, Telling the Truth, The Gospel is Tragedy, Comedy, and Fairy Tale. One of my favorite books. I read it before I even went to seminary. I made a list of 7 books that I would want if I was stuck on a desert island, and that was one of them. The absence of God, says Buechner, is not just an idea to conjure with, an emptiness for the preacher to try to furnish like a house with chair and sofa, heat and light to make it livable. The absence of God is just that which is not livable. When I'm talking about the absence of God, I'm not talking about, oh, God just has suddenly gone. God is just not there. That's obviously not possible, right? God is everywhere at all times. God is always with us, but that's not the same as us always feeling like God is with us. And it's sort of a, when our hearts are broken and it just feels like God isn't there. You read that in the psalm, right? It was you who took me from the womb, but the 22nd psalm is, to my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer, and by night I find no rest. There's this looking to God for help, for salvation in this place of lostness, and God doesn't answer, or God is just doesn't seem present in any kind of meaningful way. It's like the world has ended, and it's like the world has ended, and you you want to feel better, but also you don't want to feel better. I saw something on the internet this week. I'm not going to try to pretend I remember where. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it. It said something to the effect that when we suffer the loss of someone that we care about, we don't want to feel better, because feeling better feels like a betrayal of how much that person meant to us. That we don't want to feel better. That getting over it feels wrong, and we don't want to get over it. Because if we get over it, then we're getting over how much they meant to us. And yeah, it's that question of, you know, what does it mean, though? What does it mean that God is gone? God's always with us, right? But yeah, like I said, it doesn't feel like God's with us. I could stand up here and I could critique the theology of the psalm writer in Psalm 21 who said, my God, why have you abandoned me? And be like, well, God didn't abandon you. God's always with you. Because that question is technically wrong. It assumes that God has abandoned them, but, you know, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But this isn't a theological question. It's not a question. It's not a question about facts. It's a question about truth, which is a weird dichotomy to make. It's not a question about facts. Of course God's with us, but it's a question about truth, the truth that God feels gone. It's a question that if you've never felt it, it's almost unfathomable. So if you can't imagine what that's like, rejoice and be glad. But if you have felt it, and I imagine most of us have, you know exactly what the psalmist says when he writes, God, why have you abandoned me? Where did you go? The world turns inside out, and all the promises you heard God give you just sort of fall into the sun. There's a line in a song by Nicole Nordeman where she says, every soul is certain. There's a moment when faith caves in and every soul is certain God is gone. It's when you, maybe in a better time, said, God, I would always be grateful. You've given me so much goodness that I will always be grateful no matter what happens. And then what happens, and you can't imagine surviving it. And it almost feels wrong to survive it. Don't pray that prayer about being thankful forever, no matter what. Just don't. Pro tip. But, yeah, like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean God's gone. It just means that God's not present in any meaningful way, or the presence of God isn't helpful. The sense that, oh, God is here. Cool. Don't care. You know? So what do you do? I think I have 3 points here. I have 3 points. Look at that. You tell the truth. You find a shoulder to cry on. You find a friend to listen to you tell them how terrible it is. So many times that telling them again makes you feel uncomfortable. And you kind of glare up the heavens and you ask, my God, why have you abandoned me? I mean, you got to think about this. You've heard that psalm before, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? You've heard that before. Who says that? You don't know this from the Psalms. You know this from the New Testament, because Jesus quotes this psalm. And I would observe that question asked by Jesus is theologically incorrect. Jesus is God. He's saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? That's not possible. It's like you asking yourself, why have you abandoned yourself? That is not theologically correct. Doesn't make any sense at all. But when Jesus says, why have you abandoned me? It's not because God abandoned him. Like I said, not possible. But there are songs, and I've heard sermons that say that Jesus says this because the Father turned his face away from Jesus. I do not regret to inform anyone that's not true. That's nowhere to be found in the Bible or good Christian theology. Jesus says that because he felt that. He's quoting the song because that's how he feels. You ever find a song that talks right about how you're feeling? You see the sun come out and you find yourself humming the Beatles. It's the Beatles, right? Here comes the sun. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is like, I feel this way. I feel, my God, why have you abandoned me? And even if it's not true, that's how it feels. So that's one, you tell the truth. And two, you tell the truth of how you feel to God. And that's just a weird, ironic, wild thing. It's not saying, why has God abandoned me? It's addressed to God. It's saying, God, as though God is there, why are you not there? That's wild, right? It's talking to someone who's not there as though they are and as though they're not, because that is just the weirdness of how grief works. Third, this psalm isn't just one person talking to God. It's one person's conversation with someone who's not there. But where is it? It's in the Psalms. How to get there? I come from a tradition that says God preserves God's word. How? It's the means by which God preserves God's word that's important here. It's the process. What happens is one person says, writes down, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning. And somebody picked up on that and said, oh, that's not yours anymore, that's mine. I feel that way too. Those are some of the five most powerful words in the English language. I feel that way too. So it's an abandonment by God that you share. Because all of a sudden, God is gone, but you're no longer alone in the goneness of God. And you keep singing that song about God being gone. Sing other songs like, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And you sing it together, you sing it by yourself, and you sing it. And one day, however long it takes, sometimes days, weeks, months, years, one day, you find, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that the fire has burned away the ropes holding you there. And there's a fourth person in the fire there who looks like the son of the gods. You don't remember when that person showed up. Couldn't pinpoint it, but maybe they were there even when they weren't there. You can kind of go, wait. Is God actually here the whole time? And maybe the flames aren't so high and you can go a little while without the sorrow overwhelming you. And you keep singing, my God, why have you abandoned me? Until it maybe doesn't feel like God has abandoned you after all. Let's pray. God, thank you that you never abandon us. Even when it feels like you did, even when it feels like the world is over and there's no reason to keep going, that you stay with us and you listen to us sing about how gone you are. And you send others to care for us and to sing with us about your absence until we realize you were there all the time. Help us to find you when we're ready. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.